Okay, everybody, welcome back once again. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III. And we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Our show is a technology-based show, but we like to do it in a conversational way where we have to talk about all things technology in a relevant, interesting way. Can occasionally have a laugh, but we don't want to use any geek speak, and we try and stay away from acronyms. We just talk about what we think is important, what we hope you think is important too, when it comes to technology, whether it's the past, present, or the future. We want to do it in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. So let's start talking about NASA.
Yeah, this is we mentioned it last week that NASA had just touched down on Mars with their new rover. And one of the cool things that's come out since then is the parachute that the actual lander used had a message encoded into it.
This is so cool that, you know, this is one of those things. I really love the internet stories because the director of the whole thing there at JPL, he tweeted out a message that there was an encrypted message in the parachute, and it took some guy 6 hours to figure it out.
Yeah, they used the different coloring patterns on the parachute to encode in binary the phrase "Dare Mighty Things" and then the coordinates of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
And so there was four rings of data inside this parachute. And so the inner ring had Dare, and then the second ring had Mighty, and the third ring had Things, and then the fourth ring had the exact down to the second, the minute, seconds, you know, of the GPS coordinates, and it was red and white, the ons and off kind of things. Really clever, really cool. That just a nod out there. Hey, this is for you. Go figure it out. We had fun with it.
I definitely like that NASA is remembering the fact that they are not just a science organization, they are also an inspirational organization. That the space race of the 60s, the way that it inspired a lot of young people to go out and be interested in technology, to be interested in space, and to want to go tackle big, cool problems, I think that is very much something that NASA has always excelled at, and I hope they continue to remember that they are our motivation to look beyond the small things. And I love this.
Especially, I love the message "Dare Mighty Things." That's just awesome. That's inspiring. That's a rallying cry that you can get behind and say, "Yeah, let's go. Let's, you know." And so now, this is their fifth rover that's landed on another planet. And this one's got a microphone. Have you heard the audio reporting of the winds sweeping across Mars yet?
I have not heard the microphone recordings yet.
It's nothing great. It's nothing, you know, that it's not going to win an Academy Award or some silly lens like that. But hey, there is sound out there on another planet. That's cool.
Yeah, it's on a different planet, and it is sending data back to Earth. It is going to look for signs of life. The potential of this rover to, you know, advance our understanding, and just the crazy amount of technology and effort and thought and science and engineering part of this, it is truly a modern marvel.
And I saw some pictures here this week. The rover looking up at space at night, there is very little atmosphere, no light pollution, and the whole Milky Way was just streaming across the sky. What a really, really cool picture. And all of the stars, the gazillions of stars. This thing it's just going to be so much fun to watch everything coming out of Perseverance.
Absolutely. It will definitely be a scientific news generator for hopefully a long time. We are excited about it.
We're also excited about what's going on in Australia, because this is just fun to watch.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. And so just to catch you guys up to speed, Australia said that they wanted digital news hosting sites to start sharing some of their ad revenue with the news corporations. So Google, Facebook had been co-hosting news stories and keeping some of that money and not, giving it back to the corporations. Australia has tried to pass a law to prevent this. Google initially said they were going to leave, since backed down. Facebook said they were going to leave, and Facebook actually got what they wanted, maybe.
Well, Facebook turned off the news feeds for these media outlets in Australia. It lasted all of 6 days. And then the Australian government said, yeah, maybe that was a little stringent. Maybe we can relax that rule a little bit. And Facebook said, oh, well, okay, in that case, we'll back off our really strident stance as well. And maybe we can work this out after all.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing to come out of this is that Australia has agreed that the negotiations are no longer mandatory by law, but Facebook has said that they will engage in negotiations with a lot of these media corporations to end up sharing some of this revenue back with them. And so, all right, both sides kind of got what they wanted here. Australia has that revenue stay local. Facebook doesn't have to engage in these negotiations. All right.
A good negotiation. Both sides feel like they got a lot of what they want, and both sides feel like they didn't get everything they want. And so if both sides walk away feeling like they probably could have gotten more, but they didn't, then that's a good negotiation. And so I think this is going to work out. You know, Facebook, they played the tough card. They said, we don't need you. You've only got 28 million people on your whole damn continent. We don't care. And so, you know, it's just they called their bluff. And Australia had to say, okay, fine. And so they stopped.
I think that's the interesting thing is that Australia came out tough and they got Google to back down. Facebook came out tough. And they both, as you said, they both gave up something here. And so, because I think Australia did kind of realize that there are only 28 million people, they don't represent that much money to Facebook. And so Facebook ended up, agreeing to make this Facebook news tab. They agreed to make these deals. But if Facebook really wanted to, it really wouldn't have hurt their bottom line in Australia to just let it go. I think Facebook realized that they were getting a lot of negative blowback globally for this. And they realized that if they had kept this hard stance, there'd have been a lot of other countries which would have said, hey, we think we need harsh legislation to, make this happen too. And Facebook does not want that fight in every other place.
No. So we'll keep watching it, see where it goes. For now, both sides are back at the negotiation table, and it's a peaceful, friendly conversation. So Facebook has refriended Australia.
Yeah. So, that's a good outcome for now.
Yes. So if you have a Macintosh computer, there's a new malware going around called Silver Sparrow.
This is a pretty interesting new malware, because the first thing is that it can function on Apple's new operating chip, the M1 chip. And this was Apple's new big next generation chip, and they were pretty proud of it. And this Silver Sparrow was capable of making its way across this chip.
So far, it's the Silver Sparrow has been found in 153 countries, and it's only on 30,000 max that they know of right now. And, you know, that's in the big grand scheme of things, Mac sells a couple of million computers every quarter. So, you know, if they're going through, 10 million new computers that they sell in a year, 30,000 doesn't represent a big, huge number at all, but that's 30,000 that they know of.
Right. And so another interesting thing about this Silver Sparrow malware is that it doesn't look like it's doing anything yet. Apple's been very keen to point out that there's been no malicious payload here. It's not trying to, it's not ransomware. It's not trying to lock up your computer. It's not trying to leave a back door or anything like that. It's just out there replicating, just trying to see how far out it can make its way. I think this was a trial balloon by some hacking organization, just wanting to see, what are their vulnerabilities, what can they do? They weren't trying to have this be their signature moment. This was a, toe in the water sort of thing here.
The fact that this thing could spread as fast as it did and be unnoticed as much as it has been, and then to do nothing but be everywhere, that's got a whole lot of people saying, oh God, not another SolarWinds, please, not another SolarWinds. Because this, how long has this thing been running around? How long has it been on these systems?
That's a good question. And what did they learn? The people who created this, the people who created it and released it, I'm sure that they have some sort of data that they're pulling back in. They're able to learn, okay, it worked on these machines, it didn't work on that machine. These are the obstacles that it encountered. This is, next time whenever we do release our signature project, here's how we have to pull this lever. We have to make it quiet over here so to not set off that sensor. This was very much a, just looking to see what they can find sort of expedition. And it was successful in the worst way.
And, and this 30,000 computer, this 30,000 number, that's just the 30,000 Macs that have malware bytes on it, because malware bytes is who detected this. So if you're running a Mac and you don't have malware bytes, you don't know the Silver Sparrow is there. So this could be 3 million PCs, or not PCs, 3 million Macs. This could be 30. There's no telling how many Macs this is really on right now. And that's the thing that's got the folks at Apple the most scared, is they don't know just how pervasive this really is yet.
They have been able to patch the portion that allowed this through. They removed the accreditation for the account that had created the software. And so if it tries to duplicate itself, it throws up a red flag and says, hey, we don't trust this person anymore. And it gets stopped right there. But yeah, and they found it not just in the US, they found it in the US, the UK, Canada, France, Germany. This is floating around everywhere. It's a lot like a pandemic almost, that it is replicating and spreading globally.
So if you have a Mac and you haven't run the updates lately, go run your updates. Get your updates because you need to.
Absolutely. And another story that we've been talking about and following for a while is Starlink. Elon Musk on Twitter bragged that he thinks they'll be able to double their speeds up to 300 megabits per second this year.
Yeah, so some guy was up there in Oregon, and he had tweeted that he had just done a speed test, and he was getting 150 megabits of throughput with only 30 milliseconds of latency. And Elon Musk replied to the tweet and said, by the end of the year, we're going to double that. And that's bold talk. I love it. But it also kind of interesting to me, they've only got 10,000 customers right now. So, yeah, you can ramp up pretty fast. You can double your speed with 10,000 customers. What happens when this number of customers really starts growing?
Right. You mentioned earlier in our previous conversation that they have 500,000 people on the waiting list. My guess is that there's a very specific reason that their number of active customers is 10,000 and their wait list is 500,000. They know what it's capable of. They know if they were to start opening up that spigot, that those numbers would drop. And they are being very careful to not flood the system too quickly.
So a lot of things they've got to overcome. Number one, they're still in beta. So that's a big reason why there's only, the 10,000, users that are active right now. But how many, satellite dishes do they have, ready to ship? And then, okay, you start, because they're only operating in Idaho, Oregon, and in the state of Washington right now. That's the only place that any of these active 10,000 subscribers live. And maybe in British Columbia as well. But it's a very, very narrow geographic area that is using the system. And they're only at 1,000 satellites spinning around in space. So as this thing grows, as they get another 1,000 satellites or 2,000, 3,000 satellites up, and they can really start having these things linked together via laser, okay, your capabilities are going to grow, and now you get out of beta, now you start bringing on more customers. How many customers is your system going to handle?
That's a good question. Right now there's about 1,000 satellites up there floating around and about 10,000 customers. 10 to 1 customer to satellite is not an efficient ratio. Because if you have 500,000 customers on your waiting list, that means you'd need 50,000 satellites. And that's a lot of hardware to fling up there into space. That can take a lot of time to get up there. That just doesn't seem efficient. They're going to have to really get more efficient about the number of customers that one satellite can handle. And they're going to have to keep these numbers that they're talking about with this download speeds, with these latency speeds. They're going to have to be pushing several different directions in order to hit all the different things that Musk has bragged about. Because he's also bragged about being able to use Starlink anywhere on land on Earth
by the end of the year. And that's going to take a lot to get there. I think it's as they get out of beta, as they really start launching and going big, I think it'll be fine. I just think it's going to take them a little bit more time to roll out, because you put out the 500,000 of these satellite dishes. That's a lot of hardware you're shipping around.
Yeah, just to get that many receivers to that many people was going to take some time. And then so to get all the satellites into space, this definitely smells like one of those things where Musk was talking a big game, and they'll be able to do it eventually. But if they don't quite make the deadlines that he sets on Twitter, that's what I think is the most likely thing to happen here.
Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out. I think they're gonna do okay. I mean, you can't put that much money into putting that many satellites up with that many more satellites still to go and not have a system robust ready to handle everything. So
but
it's gonna be a fun story to continue watching.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that are coming in 2021 that we're certain of, Microsoft is launching Office 2021 later this year. And so we're just teasing it for now. But as our listeners know, as we get more details, we will tell you about it.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how much it's going to change. It'll be interesting. I mean, going from 2016 to 2019, there wasn't that much of a change, and going from 2019 to whatever the next one's, it, I really can't imagine that much change again, but you know, Microsoft will throw a tweak here and an upgrade there and a little something, because they've got to be able to, you know, call it a new year. Microsoft rolls out Office every 30 months. Well, we're coming up on 30 months when it's time to put out the next version.
Right. I honestly, I couldn't tell you what version I'm on right now, if I'm on 2016 or 2019. And I really couldn't tell you when I switched from one to the other, if I'm on the newest one. It's, you know, we'll see what 2021 brings, if it's different. My guess is that the cooler parts will be the other stuff other than just Office. That's probably what Microsoft will have the most innovations, but we'll see.
They'll be putting a lot more things into Teams and in those types of collaborations environments. That's where everything's going to go.
Absolutely, and that's what we're excited about. And we will tell you about it in the future. And if you enjoyed our show here today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. And the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of this show, or you'd like to check out previous episodes, we are available as a podcast on almost every major streaming platform, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, and more.
We do want to thank EMCO Technologies for sponsoring our show. EMCO for all your business computer network needs, whether it's Office 365, cybersecurity concerns, or moving to the cloud. Managing your business computer network is what we do. So give us a call, 225-925-8900. And if you have some suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or you can text us at 225-255-0431. You've been listening to Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3 FM.